I see grace. How many are still out of town? 4 or 5 of you. So hopefully you'll be back with us before the end of the service. So we're so glad you're here today. This kind of in baseball, you know, there's a ball that they hit that lands in between the outfield and the infield called a tweener. This is the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's. We kind of a tweener, right? So there we go. Now you get a chance to move around, shake a few hands, and welcome each other. Let's do that right now. A little fellowship time. No, that's not today, is it? We've canceled that. All right. We're going to join in a word of prayer, and as the band comes up, let's get ready to worship together. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for each one who's come out to worship you, and thank you for the love and the family feel that we have right here as we share together as a Grace Point. Speak to us now about what happened not only at Christmas, but immediately following Christmas as you grew as a baby and as you went into the temple. We thank you for that blessed event that taught us so much. Help us to learn today how we can be better followers, devoted followers of you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That way, everybody enjoying Christmas and now getting ready for New Year's. I'm going to put Joe's going to put a word on the screen. And I want you to look at that word. Now, I need everybody to participate. I'm going to count to 3, and I want you to holler out what that word is. All right, everybody ready? 1, 2, 3. How many said bow? How many said bow? That's the spiritual people. That was bad. That was real bad, yeah. Today, you know, the Christmas story, we were talking in the hallway. As usual, I go out there and talk, right? Yeah, we're talking about Christmas is really just the beginning of the Christ story. The story of Christ just begins. The baby's born. Things happen coming along. Today we're going to talk about someone who's associated with the Christmas story. Let me give you a description, 3 descriptions here. I think we got some photos even. First of all, think of an old man. Don't look at me. You can look at me. Old man. Next, gray beard or white beard. And his name begins with the letter S. All right, who do you think of? Santa's incorrect. Although, I do have... My wife every year gets us Christmas socks. Everybody gets Christmas socks. The problem with that is you don't wear them till the next year, right? So I had to wear this one. Actually, we're talking about Simeon. Yeah, everybody went, oh... You were hoping we were talking about Santa. No, we're talking about Simeon. And I want to share, this is what happened like 40 days after the birth of Christ. And we're going to read it in Luke chapter 2. Now, let me just say this. This is probably one of the parts of the Christmas story most people skip. If you go to a Christmas Eve service, we usually stop at verse 20, verse 21. We stop right there. But this is the kind of what happens the next few days. Look what happens here. It's going to be on the screen. It's not in your outline, but it's on the screen. You can follow. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of doves or 2 young pigeons would be sacrificed. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. We'll talk about what that is in a minute. And interesting, the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, This is often called Simeon's song. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people, Israel. At this, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." May God speak to us through this reading of his words. Notice that they were obeying the law. Matter of fact, I look at this as a cosmic collision. Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, God using the law of Moses to bring them into the temple. Now, what's in the temple? Here's a guy named Simeon. He's been praying and he's devout, he's righteous, and he's right there waiting, watching for the Messiah. And the collision is about to happen, because here they come. The collision takes place when Simeon meets the Messiah. Wow. What a moment. By the way, a couple other things. This also shows us, we talk a lot about Jesus being in a humble, you know, family setting. Actually, and if you go back to Leviticus chapter 12, I'm sure some of you were reading that just this morning. In Leviticus, all the laws, you know, about there, they said bring in a baby and consecrate him with a lamb and a pigeon or a dove. But if you can't afford a lamb, you can do two turtle doves or two pigeons. Guess what? Mary and Joseph could not afford a lamb. They brought in two turtle doves for their sacrifice. Now, interestingly enough, she was carrying the Lamb of God. The ultimate lamb was there. They couldn't afford a physical lamb. Now, two turtle doves. Have you heard that before? Everybody's heard that. Everybody smiled. Oh, yeah, we've heard. Do you know there is a Charleston version of the 12 Days of Christmas? Has anybody heard that before? If you've been to the symphony, they do it every year. Well, they've only had it 3 years, I think. It was written like 2 or 3 years ago. They do it, and it's at the end of your outline. If you go to the end of your outline there, you'll see it. And I apologize. Some of these are not real spiritual words, but they're Charleston words, I guess, that you have. And what they do at the symphony, you got 1,800 people there. And I got to go this year, sat up like 5 rows from the top, and they made me feel real good at the will call. They said, "By the way, the music sounds the best right there." I'm not so sure, but that's what they said. So we're up there. But what they do is, when they get to the fifth day of Christmas, normally we sing 5 golden rings. In this case, it's 5 Krogan's rings. Anybody heard of Krogan's? Everybody. Amen. So they have the mic out in the crowd, and they go up to somebody, and they stick the mic right in their face. John, how would you like that? "I have golden ring." No, he didn't want that. Dan? Maybe. So today, let me kind of go through this. In the sanctuary somewhere is a microphone. Everybody looked up at that, yeah. So I'm going to start at 12th day of Christmas. Somebody's going to get a microphone right in your face. You want that? No, not over here. There we go. 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. I got to lower that key a little bit, don't I? 12 flappers dancing, 11 citadel pipers, 10 dancers shagging, 9 dock dogs leaping, 8 cobra cows a-milking, that's a tough one, 7 dolphins swimming, 6 gullah baskets, 5 Krogan's ring. Was that okay? Thomas, tell him how to use a mic over there. That's okay. We won't do it again. Well, maybe we will. Ooh. Folks, this is my brother Carl in the back. Yes. And he always says, younger brother. Some people, that the reason he says that, because people don't know. Is that right? So there you go. Six gullah baskets. Four Hall's cocktails. Sorry about that one. 3 hours at Folly. Two Spoleto tickets. Now, everybody, last one. And a carriage ride along the Battery. Good job. Give yourselves a hand. Not bad, not bad. We're still in the 12 days of Christmas, by the way. I think today is the fourth day of the 12, but there we go. So this cosmic collision is taking place. The two turtle doves. You know, we do the angel tree. Can you imagine if Mary and Joseph had a church nearby, or synagogue or temple that was doing the angel tree? They might have a name on the tree. They were that poor. Tuesday, we go to James Island Outreach. Matter of fact, we want to invite the youth to come this week. They're out of school. If you'd like to go to James Island Outreach Tuesday morning around 9 o'clock, a little bit earlier, they would love to have the youth come and help out. Can you imagine going to the Bethlehem Outreach? And there's a food bank, and you're over there kind of get the food ready. Here comes Mary and Joseph and the baby, because they don't have food. They were poor. They didn't have what we have today. Jesus grew up in a poor home. A couple other things here. It says, you can now dismiss your servant. In other words, Simeon said, now I'm ready to die. I'm ready to die. I looked up the top 10 bucket list items. Everybody knows what a bucket list is? Hopefully we're not dealing with that too much, but bucket list items. Here's the top 10 in the United States. I was shocked by this. I don't know how much is true of this, but here's what they said. Number 10, I like this one, change someone's life for the better. Number 9, overcome a major fear, like public speaking. Write a book. Number 8, Dan wrote a book. 7, run a marathon. Jonathan. 6, travel. Go to every continent and explore Europe. Anybody been to every continent? Okay, we got a bucket list for you. 5, ride a hot air balloon. Anybody done that? A few of you. How many have heard some hot air? Yeah, okay. 4, scuba dive, probably around here, and swim with the dolphins. Number 3, go on an African safari. Number 2, visit the wonders of the world. And number 1, I can't believe this is number 1, see the northern lights. All right, there you go. Now, I think we ought to be a little more spiritually minded than just seeing the northern lights. But here is Simeon saying, Lord, I've held the Messiah. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go. So I'm thinking, as we go through this and we talk this survey of he was a senior citizen. I've only had one out of many, many sermons that said he was not a senior citizen. I believe he was, because he was ready to go after seeing this. It says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Real quick, this survey of 50 folks 95 years and old, or old and older, which I actually did a sermon on this a while back. They said they would think deeper thoughts. Number 2, they would take more risks. And number 3, do more things that will live on after you're gone. Live on after you. I have 2 senior citizens in our church I know that have passed away recently that have touched my life so much. And one of those, I'll tell you what, both these gentlemen really were very encouragers. They were encouraging. Bill Tanner. Every time he'd hear a song, he'd come up and tell Jason, love the music. Tell Kevin, love the sermon. He'd say, John, you finished preaching before I finished listening. Now, if you think about that, that's a nice compliment. Not anybody else says that but him. And our friend Michael Lauer, who sat right here, Sandy's buddy, he sat right here, and every song, and I tell me if I'm wrong on this, and He literally would begin to cry during the music. It meant so much to him. Those guys, I spent time with him at trivia. Dan's the DJ. We go to trivia, and we spent time talking. We didn't agree on everything, and that's okay. As opposed to another lady I'm going to tell you about that I disagreed with, and she got upset. That's right. Some people love you. Some people hate you when you tell them about Jesus, right? But here it is. These are senior citizens that make a difference. So Simeon was a senior citizen. Number two, if you see this outline going down, S, senior citizen. I, he was inspired and instructed by the Holy Spirit. These verses, you see the word Holy Spirit or the Spirit three different times. Look what it says. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Let me tell you something, folks. Israel basically had 400 years. They call it the silent years because the Holy Spirit kind of backed off. Now, it wasn't like, and as you study, we actually did in our small group Bible study, we did a whole day on the 400 years. What happened during that time? Alexander the Great came in, Pompey came in and took over Israel, the Romans. A lot happened. But the prophets kind of disappeared. Malachi was the last one that we have in the scriptures. So in those 400 years, where was God? And all of a sudden, Simeon, the Holy Spirit speaks to Simeon. Wow. Here's this cosmic collision getting ready to happen. God's working over here. Mary and Joseph and the virgin birth, going to Bethlehem, the baby's born. Over here, Simeon thinking through all the prophets, thinking about where's this baby going to be born? Where's the Messiah going to be? I'm going to watch for him, and I'm not going to die until I see him. And here they come together. He was inspired and instructed by the Holy Spirit, looking for the consolation. What is the word consolation? To be consoled. They were waiting for Israel to finally have a day of consolation, to be consoled. They had been run over by the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, now the Romans. And here's the Holy Spirit showing him, here's the baby, here's the Messiah. He was one that knew that this Messiah was not going to be one that would come in as a grand horse-riding conqueror. He was going to come in and show us how to love each other and how to treat each other the way that God wants us to treat one another. Let's go on to the letter M. He was obviously mission-minded. It was the Messiah or bust. All right? At the end of the service, I'm going to have Jonathan say a word about a mission opportunity that we have in 2026. I keep thinking it's 2027 coming up. Now, why would that happen? Have I missed a whole year? I said it on live ESPN broadcast. My partner said, hey, we got a ball game on New Year's Eve. I said, yeah, and you'll kick in 2027. He said, John, it's 2026. I said, yeah, I guess that's true because I'm planning all these weddings are coming up in 2026. I'm already in the middle of it, you know. But here we go. He's mission-minded. We're going to have a mission team go down to Guatemala in 2026. If you're interested in that, you want to see John, we'll say a word about that at the end. Look what it says. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Now, wouldn't it be great if everybody said, why are you here today? Because the Spirit moved me to go to Grace Point. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I think the Spirit's moving a lot of people to come that didn't come out today. Maybe we ought to have it full like we had on Christmas Eve. How many were at Christmas Eve when we had baptism? Man, that was amazing. I mean, to have, and I'm sorry, Boone, I'm embarrassing you back there. Sorry. But to have a family come up and have a young man light the Christ candle and then to be baptized. What a beautiful, beautiful evening that was. So mission-minded. Are we on a mission? Like Simeon. E, letter E. expectantly awaiting the Christ. As it says in Luke 22:25, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Where was he? He was in the temple. What was he doing? Waiting for the Messiah. Can you imagine? I don't know how long he'd been standing there. He might have been standing at the gate watching every baby come in. They were going, this guy's weird. What's he doing? And here's another question. I know we have a six-month-old. I don't know if everybody knows this. We have a six-month-old grandbaby. His mom and dad are expecting twins in about 4 months, 5 months. Is that possible? I guess it is. We went over to the house one day, and Kyle says, God has interesting plans for our family. I said, yes, he does. And your grandparents, apparently. But I will say this. Not many mothers or dads would say to an old gentleman standing at the door, would you like to hold the baby? Oh, no. Janie, you know. It's got to be you got to really trust that person. This is a stranger. Maybe they knew him. Maybe they've been there. But here's Simeon holding the baby. He'd been waiting for this. I remember, this is the actual Messiah. I remember Jeff Foxworthy said his family went down to Disney, and one of the family members came over and said, you know, he's the guy that says, you know, you're a redneck. Yes. You know, one of the family members, hey, I got Goofy's autograph. And he said, don't you know that's a guy in a suit? He said, no, I'm pretty sure it was the real Goofy. This is the real Messiah. This is the real, he goes, this is the Messiah, the consolation, the hope of Israel, right there in his arms, the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, right there in his arms. Letter O, nice military term, over and out, mission accomplished. Sovereign Lord, as you promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. He broke into a song. When was the last time you got so excited you broke into a song? When was the last time you wished somebody next to you did not break into a song? That probably... Shouldn't have said that. You cannot die. He knew he could not die happy and completed as an individual until he saw the Messiah. And remember this. Salvation is not a group of words or a saying or even a book that you... It's a person. He says, I have seen and held your salvation. Salvation is Jesus. Wow. Why do we talk so much about Jesus? Because he is the key. Just gave that out the other night again. I said everybody needs a little Jesus. Everybody really needs a lot of Jesus. We need him. He is the key to salvation. Letter O. Let's go to N. We're going to finish out spelling the name Simeon. He then became a newscaster. Good news, tough news. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. This is a tough one right here. This is a tough line. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. Now, I think this word marvel is interesting. I was thinking this question. Has anybody asked you this? When was the last time you marveled? Nobody ever asked that question. When did you last marvel? You know, marveling. Last time I marveled was Christmas Eve with Stevie wearing that tie. I think it was Jay who said on there, man, I said, man, he looked marvelous. Didn't he? That's good. But you know what? That whole evening was a marvel. It was marvelous. We marveled at what God was doing. They marveled. And then there were some crazy things here that are in this prophecy. There will be a rising and falling. Hearts will either harden or melt. There will be a division. Jesus doesn't always bring bring unity. He wants unity, but there will be division because some people will reject him. I was saying, I was at a wedding and the reception, and a lady walked up. They're getting ready to do the first dance. Now, that's a very important moment. The lady walks over me and says, loud, says, "What do you about think about the state of our world right now?" As they're getting ready to do the first dance. So I began to share, and then she says something like, "I don't believe any of this stuff about God." Woo! I'm sorry, I'm using a bad accent. Therefore, it's normal accent. I don't believe any of this stuff. Well, you know, I said, I guess, you know, so I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Is that what you're saying? And I was very nice about that. We had this conversation, but she was eventually, I told the youth this the other night, she called me insane. She called me racist. And she said I had been drinking. Now, most of you know I don't drink. But, you know, I was just kind to her and kept talking to her. I did better something, though. Sorry, I have to say this. She said that J.R. Tolkien was a lady. I said, well, J.R. Tolkien, talking about C.S. Lewis becoming a Christian. She said, well, she is a racist, and she is this, and insane, and all this. I said, let me tell you something. J.R. Tolkien's a guy. I bet you she's a lady. I said, all right, what do you want to bet? I'm ready to bet now. That's how far down this went. I said, I'll bet you a Mountain Dew. Where's my Mountain Dew? I said, so I showed her a picture of J.R. Tolkien. She goes, I need a Mountain Dew over here. What I'm saying is, at the very end of the conversation, because we kept this conversation going, she said to me, I don't agree, but you are a light that shines. So that was it. That's all I needed to hear, really. I didn't holler back at her. I didn't tell her she was insane. I just told her she was wrong on that one thing, but, you know. But here we go. That's what he's saying. There are many who will love him, many will hate him. Jesus, when you say the name, people will choose sides. So what are the lessons that we learn here? I'm going to run through these very quickly. Seven lessons that we learn from Simeon. Number one. Value the wisdom and experience of senior citizens. Value the wisdom and experience of our senior citizens. The verse says, a couple of them, Proverbs, gray hair is a crown of glory. Everybody's looking around. Treat older men as fathers and older women as mothers. There should be respect and honor. We need to learn to listen. Take a senior citizen out to lunch or let them take you out to lunch. And I'll tell you this, here's the second one. If you're not a senior citizen, show respect. If you are a senior citizen, remember, God's not through with you. Look at Simeon. One of the first people to recognize this was the Messiah. And if you go on further, Anna's even older. She's in the end of that passage. I'm preaching about Anna next year. When we're talking about 2027 coming up, right? Simeon and Anna are back to back. So next year, if he needs me to preach on the tweener week here, I'll preach about Anna because she was even older and she was right there. So the lessons we learned, number one, was value and look at senior citizens with respect. Number two, strive for consistency in your Christian disciplines. 1 Corinthians 15, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. One of the messages I've been listening to about Simeon for 2 weeks, over and over, I'd get in the car and listen to another sermon about Simeon. Here's Simeon, here's Simeon, here's Simeon. One of them said this, and I had to go back and look it up. He said, you can read your Bible 1 day a week or 2 days a week, even 3 days a week. It may not make much of a difference. But if you read your Bible 4.6 days a week, it will make a huge difference. What? I said, I had to go back. There's a Center of Biblical Engagement that did a study of, I think it was 100,000 people. And they said this, if you read your Bible more than 4 days in a week, it will change your life. Wow. I mean, here's some of the statistics. It'll help you, it'll take off some of the risky behaviors, like drinking to excess, down 62%. Gambling, I needed to hear that one the other night, down 45%. Lashing out in anger, down 31%. Gossip, lying, overeating, oh boy, overspending. All of those things improve as you read the Bible more than 4 days a week. Pretty impressive. What about inner struggles? They decrease. Feeling bitter, destructive thoughts about others, having difficulty forgiving, or even experiencing loneliness will kind of decrease as you read the Bible day after day. And then this one, proactive faith. Your faith is increased. Giving financially to the church goes up 416%. What? Memorizing scripture, 407%. Discipling others and sharing your faith goes up 228% if you just pick up the Bible and read it 4 days a week. Don't stop, though. You can go all seven if you want. But you know what? John, you shared it the other night in our youth Christmas party. We talked about reading the Bible, going into that Bible and searching for God. You will seek Him and find Him when you seek Him with all your heart. Third thing, listen intently and eagerly for God's prompting. It says, I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for He speaks peace to His faithful people. Psalm 85. Proverbs 3:6, listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Obviously, Simeon was listening to God, and he said, go in the temple. I think he's going to tell us, go worship. Prepare for worship. I mean, this morning, Janie met Carl, my brother. She got all excited, thought he was preaching. Yeah, I said, but then she said, this was so neat, and I hope this doesn't embarrass you. Janie said, I'm going to go over here and pray for the service. That's what God prompts us to do, those things. Do those things that God tells you to do. Fourth thing, as think of Simeon with that baby, hold Jesus close. Every step, every day. Hold Jesus close. The Bible says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. James 4:8. It's good to be near God. The Lord is my refuge. Psalm 73. Number five, spread the marvelous message of Jesus. There it is again, that word marvelous. I don't think I told you. Marvel is in the Bible a bunch of times. The word marvels in the New Testament 11 times, marveled 23 times, marvelous 24 times. There's only two times when it says Jesus marveled. One was the faith of a Gentile woman, and the other was he marveled at the disbelief or the non-faith of his hometown. Jesus even marveled. What brings marveling into your life? What makes your life marvelous? I think Jesus does. That message that you can share, always be prepared. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, always be prepared. Share the hope that you have. In Romans 1:16, one of my favorite verses, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. As you share that with others, don't be ashamed. There are going to be people that are very positive. There are going to be people that will call you insane and you've been drinking, John. No, I haven't. Pastor John, over here. Number six, prepare for your ultimate entry into eternity. These things are written, 1 John chapter 5, these things are written so that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you think Simeon was wondering if he was going to have eternal life? I don't think so. I think Simeon was like, man, I am ready. The greatest gift, I talk about senior citizens, grandparents, parents, and then for children as well, teenagers. The greatest gift that you can give your family members is the knowledge that they can see you again in heaven. That's the best gift of all. If we pass away this year in 2026, and we've had a couple folks that we said more than that in our church family. But having said that, the greatest gift those people can give us is to say, I'll see you again. I have Jesus in my heart and life. I have a place in heaven. That's a great gift. I always tell people at a funeral, I said, everybody in here is asking one question. Will we see him again? Or will we see her again? Just had a funeral of 99-year-old friend of Jason and myself, Miss Crystal Platt. No doubt at all, we know she's in heaven. These funerals, I say, hey, everybody's asking that question. Will we see him? I said, there's two things that have to happen. Number one, did they give their heart to Christ? And number two, have we done that? Have we trusted in Jesus to save us, to forgive our sins? It's what it's all about. What are we on? We're on number 7, aren't we? Are we at the end? Steve, how did that happen? Yes. Put yourself on an intentional path to encounter God. Put yourself on an intentional path to encounter God. I thought about Zacchaeus. He climbs a tree. Why did he climb that tree? He was short, first of all. Secondly, he wanted to see Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus, he's sitting on the side of the road. He can't see Jesus, but he's hollering, Jesus, Lord. He gets healed. And think about Simeon. Right there. You can put your name in there. What are you doing in your life to come in contact with Jesus on a regular basis? Maybe it's singing worship songs. Maybe it's fellowshipping with others. Maybe it's reading scripture more than 4 days a week, regularly. Not just consistently, but a majority of time, be thinking about God. Focus on him. Think about things above, not things below, and it'll change our lives. Simeon. I hope that you'll, this year, if you go back again, you can read that little story again about Simeon. Maybe pull up a couple of YouTube things and listen about Simeon. Very, very interesting guy. One day when we get to heaven, we can talk to him. He's probably up there chatting right now with Michael and with Bill Tanner. You know, they're having a little chat. My mom, my dad. It's going to be quite a reunion. We'll see all these people that are Christians. All right? So today, I don't know which of these God has laid on your heart that you really need to work on. Maybe it's that Bible reading consistently. Maybe it's to just listen for God's prompting, holding him close, spreading his news. Don't let 2026 go by without sharing your faith. If it means something important. Everybody in here is asking me about the grandbaby. And I'd pull up pictures. What if I'm to pull up a picture of Jesus? Hey, man, here's a guy, too, you need to know about, right? Or, like I say, here we go. And I've told y'all about the mean, mean sheriffs down at the courthouse. They've already told y'all that. Yeah, I'm not going to tell that one again. This made them smile. This made them smile. That's what Jesus does. Brings marvel into our lives. And then prepare for your ultimate entry into heaven. And then put yourself in a path, a divine appointment, that cosmic collision between Mary, Joseph, and the baby, and Simeon. Ooh, there it was. What about us? What about us? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the challenge. This Christmas really doesn't end on the 25th. We get a lot of gifts and a lot of joy and good food, but the message, it goes throughout the year. Remind us daily that we need to put ourselves in a place where we can come in contact with you. We thank you for your presence of your Spirit. May your Holy Spirit prompt us of who we need to talk to, what we need to read in our Bibles, what we need to pray about, how we need to give. Lord, we love you, and may we show it, not just say it, but show it all throughout this new year, 2026. We thank you, and we pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we, in between this song and the final song before we go out, we always have a couple of words of announcement. I've asked John, if he would, to say a word about the Guatemala trip, how you can, when it is, and when the deadline is to let him know if you're interested. So, God, share with us.
Yeah, so you've seen in the bulletin a little bit. It's been a busy season, so we haven't had a chance to talk much about it. But we're trying to get a team together to go down to Guatemala. Some of you that were here, you know, I went down a year and a half ago on a trip down with a mission group called Row 12, and their partner ministry down there, Impacto Ministries. And it was such a transformational trip for myself personally, but it was also a great opportunity for our church to have an impact down in Guatemala, sharing the gospel and doing God's work as God's hands and feet down there. So next summer, July 3rd through 11th, we're trying to get a team to be able to join this group that's going down there. I would love to have you join us. We'll do some things working with elderly folks with their abuelitos program. That's a word for grandparents, but they call their elderly the abuelitos. And work with them in the morning doing a program. It's a wonderful time with these elderly people who, while, you know, typically they live with a younger family that are out working and at school. And during the daytime, you know, an opportunity to engage with them. And then in the afternoons, a Happy Tummies program where we provide a meal, a healthy meal for children that are in very impoverished conditions, and also an opportunity for sharing the gospel, doing some programs with them. And certainly that's been shown, you know, as kids get involved in that sort of program, it draws their family into the churches that this ministry also sponsors and plants churches in these communities as well. And there may be some opportunity for some light construction work possibly, depending on the team and the group going down there, opportunity for possibly a sports camp with kids and such. Just a great opportunity to interact with the community down there and share the gospel and be the hands and feet of Christ. It is a quick turnaround with decisions here. In the middle of this month, we got about 3 weeks to try to put together a team and see who would like to be involved. There is a little bit of money involved with it. You're traveling down there. Don't want to get too much into that at the moment. We do want to fundraise for it, so I don't want that to be an obstacle to anybody as we think about that. But we can talk of that. So if you're interested at all in joining this team, that is 4th of July week, which to some people are like, oh, no, 4th. But, I mean, a lot of people are already, you know, slow time at work. It's a time for families can join. You know, kids, I believe, have to have a parent up to 16, but at 16 and above, with a waiver from parents, can join us as well. Wonderful. I really invite you to pray about it. Those of you who are interested in joining, all ages, to join on this trip and go down there and have an impact. And if you're not able to join us, to pray about how you can support, especially with prayers. But there will be some, you know, money involved at some point.
Prayer partners, sponsors, that kind of thing. So, yeah, be ready to help out. A couple quick other words, James Allen Outreach. I mentioned this. It's going to be Tuesday morning. If you'd like to help, I would like to invite all the youth to come out. You're out of school. What a great opportunity to come out and just touch the community in a very positive way. And then our Growing Grace. Now, I got word. I don't know if you've noticed the little, all these things move, you know. Little lines going up a little bit. We are approaching right now $150,000 that's been given. So last week, just online, I don't know what the in-house giving was, over $12,000 in that week. So thank you all for being a part of that as we move ahead. You see all the work that's being done and out and about. I can't wait for the little the playground. They're going to put this soft stuff out there. So when I fall, Janie, I won't hurt, okay? Take that excitement with you. Let's pray together, and we'll see you back here next week. Sandy.
I just have one quick announcement. We have the Ladies Fellowship on Wednesday. We're having our retreat February the 6th, 7th, and 8th, Friday, Saturday. Come back here Sunday. I have slots for about 5 more ladies. We have a great time. The lesson is When God Doesn't Fix It. Which is a great, we have 5 sessions, great food, a lot of laughing, a lot of praying, our sessions and films for each one. And
so, see you, right? All right. Sandy will be right here. Karen? Sandy's right here. If you're interested, ladies, 5 more spots, come see her today. Don't wait. All right. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this challenging time as missions or retreats. Small group Bible studies, just opportunities to do the James Island Outreach. We thank you for each one of those. not only to come together to worship, but then to serve. Thank you for that. We love you, Lord, and we pray we'll take this joy and excitement with us now as we go forward. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.